Now, our text this morning is really a parable that the Apostle Paul addresses to a young Timothy. And in this parable, mention is made of a great house, a master, and different vessels. Now, the great house speaks to us about the Church of Christ. The master represents none other than the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And the vessels are a reference to the believer whom God uses for His honor and for His glory. And throughout the Bible, God's people, we see, have many different titles and names. They are called saints, depicting their eternal union with Christ. The Christian is also referred to as the believer, speaking of the very fact that their faith is in Christ and in His finished work alone for their salvation. The Christian is also termed light, and that speaks of the influence of the testimony of God's people in this evil and ungodly world. Again, the Christian is likened unto a soldier, showing how every believer is to war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Then the believer, the Christian, is also referred to as a disciple, showing how the Christian is not to follow men or the ways of men, but rather he is to follow the Lord God Jehovah, his Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Well, in our text this morning here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in the verse 20 and 21, the believer here is called and likened unto a vessel. This depicts how the Lord wants to use His people in His service. Now, over in 2 Corinthians 4, in the verse 7, we are reminded of that very truth. There Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth about this very fact. And he says, "For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And there he reminded the Corinthian believers that he and them were earthen vessels that God was to use for His honor and for His glory. And again, we are reminded of that very same truth. Whenever the Lord spoke to Ananias after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, what did the Lord say to Ananias about Saul of Tarsus? He said this, "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles." And there you see again this truth stated and brought to the fore, that the believer is to be a vessel to bear forth the name of Christ their Savior. Yes, we can say this morning that being a vessel for God is God's purpose for all of us who are saved by the grace of God. Yes, the Lord has saved us to be a vessel by which the gospel can be spread forth into this world in which we live. Oh, believer, this morning, understand this. The Lord wants to use you as a vessel. A vessel to spread the gospel in your workplace, in your office, in your farm, in the factory floor, on the building site, on the shop, in your home, amongst your family, and in your neighborhood, and those that you would rub shoulders with day by day throughout the week. My, just as you would fetch a jug of water to someone who is thirsty, so, dear Christian, the Lord wants you to be a vessel to take the message of the gospel, that most vital of all messages, to souls that are poor and thirsty and perishing and dying in their sin. Now, to be such a vessel, the Lord desires certain characteristics in our lives. And these characteristics are set forth before us in our text this morning in verse 20 and 21 of 2 Timothy 2, where Paul says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And here you read of the character of the vessels in this great house that is spoken of in this parable. And these characteristics, they're a picture of the character the Lord requires in the lives of all of His people if He is to use them for His honor and for His glory. And it is those characteristics of these vessels that I want us to look at for a little while this morning. Notice first of all with me the diversity of these vessels. Look at the beginning of verse number 20. It says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth." And here you read of vessels that have been made from gold, some have been made from silver, some have been fashioned out of wood or out of earth, out of the clay of the ground. And they all differ. Why? Because they all have different functions. Think of a great house. Some of these vessels may be used in the kitchen. Others may be used in the dining room or some other part of the home. And my, it is the same in the Church of Christ. The Lord has different vessels. And the Lord has different people for different purposes in His church and in His kingdom. You think of some of those that you read of in the Bible. Think of Peter, who was always to the fore, forthright in preaching the gospel and standing for the Lord. Think of Paul, that missionary who was undaunting to the end of his earthly days. Think of Andrew, who was always bringing others to the Lord in a personal capacity in his life. Think of Mary, who loved the fellowship of Christ in the place of communion and fellowship with the Lord. Think of Martha, a woman who always loved to be busy in service for the Lord. Think of Lydia, a woman of kindness who opened up her home to tend to the needs of the servants of God. Think of Matthew, who was saved and later on took up his pen to write the first gospel of the New Testament. And think of Barnabas, who put out his hand to Saul of Tarsus, who was a great encourager in the early New Testament church. They were different people from different backgrounds. God had different works and purposes for them to fulfill in His great cause and His great kingdom. And again, over in Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 11, we are reminded again of that same diversity. Paul there is speaking to the Ephesian believers of the different gifts to those within the body of the New Testament church. And he says this, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Again, he speaks of different people with different gifts, different talents, and different works to do for Him. Again, that same diversity is highlighted for us in 1 Corinthians 12 and the verse 12 through the illustration of different parts of the human body. "And my, it is said, therefore, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Just as the human body has many parts for many different functions of that body can function and live, so the body of Christ, the church of Christ, is made up of different people of diverse backgrounds that God uses for His honor and for His glory." Yes, it is the same with each believer in the church of Christ. Yes, there is diversity among us. My, we have different personalities, we have different gifts, we have different talents, we have different abilities. Yet God wants to use each one of us who are saved as a vessel for His honor, for His glory. Well, because of our diversity, God, yes, has different tasks for us to do for Him through His church here and in this community where we live for His honor and for His glory. Turn with me back, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. And look with me at the beginning of verse number 15, the parable of the talents. And here it really speaks of how God gives His people different gifts, different talents for different jobs and purposes that He has planned for their life. It says in verse 15 of Matthew, chapter 25, "And unto one He gave 5 talents, and to another 2. And to another 1, and to every man," notice it, "according to his several ability." My, with our different talents, we all have different talents, different gifts that God has given to us. We are to use them to serve our God, to serve our Savior, to serve our Redeemer. We are to be vessels for God to use. That's the thought here in our text this morning as we think of the diversity of these vessels. You think of an orchestra this morning. In an orchestra, you have many different kinds of instruments. You have the woodwind. You have the string instruments. You have the brass. You have the percussion. Yet they all come together. They play together in harmony under the leadership of the baton of their conductor. Well, dear people of God, under Christ, the great head of the church, you and I, as believers in Christ, are to labor together for God in His vineyard, for His cause, and for His kingdom. Yes, we may differ. There may be diversity among us, but because we differ, this does not mean that we should sit back and refrain from serving the Lord. Dear people of God, you and I are not to be bystanders, as it were, on the touchline of God's work. Rather, with our different gifts and talents and abilities, we are to get involved in the work of the Lord and in the things of God. Remember the Spirit of Christ when He was here on earth. Remember what He said in John 9, verse 4? He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You study the earthly life of Christ until He was taken up into glory. He was one of working for His Father in glory as Heavenly Father. Oh, Christian, the hymn writer says, there's a work for Jesus. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. Christian, understand this morning. Let this truth be written upon your heart. The Lord has saved you. He has chosen you to be His vessel, to be a witness for Him with your different gifts and talents and abilities. Every believer in the Church of Christ is important. God is a place for every one of us to fulfill within the body of Christ. Yes, we see here the diversity of these vessels. But notice, secondly, this morning, the availability of these vessels, and that availability is underscored for us in verse number 21 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me read that verse with you. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Notice the final words, sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. And there you see that the availability of these vessels is depicted in a number of ways. Notice that word, sanctified. That word means set apart. It means, if you like, dedicated to the Lord's use, consecrated to the service of God, available for God to use. Oh, believer, can the same be said of you and I this morning? Are we available for the Lord to use? As God's people, have we placed ourselves at the disposal of God? We were singing earlier on those words of that great hymn of Isaac Watts. And what did he say at the end of that hymn? He said, speaking to the Lord, he says, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. As he thought of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ and what Christ had done for him, he says, here, Lord, I give myself away to Thee. It's all that I can do. He was making himself available for the Lord. You remember the words of David's servants before the King David? This is what they said in 2 Samuel 15, verse 15. Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my Lord the King shall appoint. They were set apart, ready for their Master's use. Child of God, this is how it should be with you and I in response to our relationship with Christ our Savior. Yes, this word sanctified depicts the availability of these vessels, but there's something else here to note. Notice the little phrase there further on down, verse 21, where it says, meet for the Master's use. And again, the thought there is ready for the Lord to use. Christian, let me ask you this morning the question, are you ready for the Lord to use you? Are you ready today for the Lord to use you? Go over there to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse number 11. Here you see how Mark was ready for the gospel ministry, to preach God's word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 11. And Paul again is writing to Timothy and he says, only Luke is with me. And then he says this, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He was ready to preach the gospel as God would send him forth and open up doors for him. Tell me, Christian, are you ready today for the Lord to use you and to take you up in His hand, so to speak? Turn over a little further to the little book of Philemon. Go on over from 2 Timothy, you come to the book of Titus. Then you come to the book of Philemon. It's just one chapter. And I want you to look with me, please, just at the end of that chapter. The verse number 11 of the book of Philemon, or rather in the middle of the chapter. You know the story of Philemon. Paul was writing this letter to Philemon about a runaway slave called Onesimus who was saved, who repented and got right with God. And I want you to see here what Paul said to Philemon about this man Onesimus. Look at verse number 11 of Philemon. Notice what he says about him. He says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. There he was speaking of this man's life and his unsaved state. How he run away from his master. He was an unprofitable servant. But look at the change, the contrast. As a result of God's saving grace in his life, he goes on in verse 11 and says, but now profitable to thee and to me. And again, that word profitable shows us there how Onesimus was now ready to be used in the service of the Lord. He was now profitable for the things of God. You think this morning of the work of a firefighter. Whenever they are on duty or on call, they're ready for call out 24/7. That's what it is when they enlist in the full-time capacity and are firefighters and are on call. They're ready to be called out where there's an accident or fire 24/7. Christian, this morning, let me ask, if the Lord was to ask you today to do something for Him, would you be ready? The Lord is to come and put His hand upon your life and say, I want you to do this. I want you to go here for me. Are you ready? Are you available for the Lord to use? Notice the word sanctified. Yes, the word is meet for the Master's use. But notice something else here at the end of our text. And again, it builds up this picture of the availability of these vessels. Notice the final phrase there in verse 21 of 2 Timothy 2. That little phrase, prepared unto every good work. Again, that speaks of being ready for any task that the Lord would ask of us, no matter where or no matter when that task may have to be taken up. You think this morning of Stephen, whom you read of in the early part of the book of the Acts. He was preaching God's word in the city of Samaria. He was experiencing revival there. God's hand was upon him mightily. Yet God came to that man, Philip, the evangelist. And he said these words to him in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. He says, arise and go toward the south. Philip, I want you to leave this place of great blessing. Philip, I want you to go down into the wilderness, down into the desert. And he was to go there with one single purpose, to lead a black man to Christ. One man, the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, what did Philip do? What was his response to that call from God in his life? You read of it in the very next verse, verse 27. It says, he arose and went. He was prepared unto every good work. He was ready, willing, and available to go to do the Master's bidding. There was no holding back, no delay, no dilly-dallying, no halting between two opinions. He says, God, if you have called me to go there to lead that one man to Christ, I'm willing to go. Nothing was going to hold him back. Oh, believer, this morning, let me ask, are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you available for God to use as His vessel? Are you prepared to go the second mile this morning in supporting our gospel meetings? And being in your place in the public place of prayer? Tell me, Christian, will you be with us on Saturday afternoon at the open air witness and the march of witness through this town of Market Hill as we seek to stand for Christ and be a witness for our Savior and our Redeemer? Tell me, dear believer, are you willing and available to help maybe out in the Sunday school, in the children's work, in the youth work? Are you willing and ready to bring some soul, needy soul, in under the sound of the gospel and God's word? Are you willing and ready to give out a gospel tract to help out with the outreach around the doors in this community? Are you willing, ready to help maybe in some practical way, maybe just to make a cup of tea to a speaker or somebody in need to help in a practical way? Oh, Christian, let me ask you this morning, are you a vessel available, ready, and willing for God to use? The diversity of these vessels, the availability of these vessels. Notice one final thought this morning. Notice the cleanliness of these vessels. Look at how verse 21 begins. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these. Just stop there and think of that word purge. It means to make clean. In other words, the believer's life must be cleansed from sin and from anything that dishonors the Lord. This is vital if he or she is to be used by the Lord. You think of our own homes, dear people. Whenever we eat our meals, we only use those cups or those plates or those utensils that have been washed or are cleansed. My, if you are entertaining, you will only use that which is clean to set out before your guests when they come to your home. And the same principle applies to God's work and to God's people. The Bible says to every Christian, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Turn back to that psalm that we read at the beginning, Psalm number 24. Look at the questions and the answers that are given in verse 3 and 4 regarding serving the Lord, worshipping the Lord, and meeting with God. Verse 3 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Notice it. He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Oh, people, see the truth there for you and I. To be used by God, our lives must be purged from all that is sinful and all that is contrary to God's word and contrary to God's will. Sinful thoughts, words, and deeds must be put under the blood by us, the people of God. We live in a day when there are many professing Christians and many professing believers, and their thinking is that they can live like the ungodly in every respect. That is not God's way for the Christian. In Romans 12 and the verse 2, it says to God's people, be not conformed to this world. In other words, the Christian is not to be controlled by the ungodly evil spirit of this world. In Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And there the writer to the Hebrews is writing specifically to Christians, to those who are saved. Again in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, it says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And again there Paul is writing to those who are Christians, to those who are saved. Oh people, let me say this morning, these are scriptures that must be applied to all of our lives as God's people. Yes, as believers on a daily basis, we must confess our sins to the Lord. Trust in the blood of Christ for cleansing. As believers, we must pray for grace to overcome sin, to subdue our iniquities, to live to the glory of God. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. As believers, we have a responsibility to turn away from close association with that which is ungodly and of the devil himself. The Bible says to the Christian, abstain from all appearance of evil. And that's our responsibility and our daily walk with God. Can I say also, as believers, we have a responsibility to turn away from all religious worship that is contrary to the Word of God and the Gospel. The Bible says to the Christian, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." And as Christians, we must never get involved with the false worship of Roman Catholicism or any other false religion or false cult that is abounding today. "Be ye clean," the Bible says, "that bear the vessels of the Lord." That's a responsibility to every one of us in our walk with God. By God's grace, to turn our back upon the ungodly ways of this world and to live for God's glory. And turn away from all religion that is false and contrary to the Word of God. Turn with me back to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Look with me please at verse 15 and verse 16. And here you read of God's people in the day of Hezekiah. This was their preparation for revival and reformation. There was the cleansing of the people, and there was the cleansing also of the temple. This had to be put away before God would come and God would bless amongst His people. And notice their obedience to this. Verses 15 and 16 of 2 Chronicles chapter 29. It speaks of the people there in Hezekiah's day, and it says, "And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord." Notice it. To cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And brought out, notice it, all the uncleanness that they had found in the temple of the Lord, into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad onto the brook Kidron. What was the brook Kidron? It was the rubbish dump outside the city wall of Jerusalem. All that was unclean in the temple was taken out to the place of refuge, to the brook of Kidron. Now this was their preparation for the blessing of God in their lives, and the preparation for the service of God in their lives. Oh, child of God, let me say to you this morning, this is how it must be with you and I, if we are to be vessels unto honor. As it says in our text this morning, if we are to be vessels unto honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Maybe I'm speaking to you this morning, you are still on sea. Let me say this, before God can use you as a vessel unto honor, you must be saved by coming to Christ, trusting Him as Savior, repenting of your sins, and trusting in His blood to blot out your sins. The Lord says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God. There is none else." And it's only when you look by faith to Christ for salvation that you can begin to be used for God's honor and God's glory and God's service. The Bible says He is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Oh, this day come to Christ, not saved. Trust Him as your Savior. Then by His grace seek to live for Him day by day, to be a vessel unto honor, prepared unto every good work, and meet for the Master's use. We're going to